You're listening to Navigating Diversity, where we explore how human beings differ, yet can find ways to relate to one another in an increasingly xenophobic socio-political climate. Last week, Julie Raymond, host of KISU's newest program, Sustainable Idaho, stepped in to host a very special episode of Navigating Diversity, joined by Dr. Colin Johnson and myself as guests to help navigate the topic, international students and the criminalization of immigration in the United States. You can catch our conversation at kisu.org/programs/navigatingdiversity. This week, we are again breaking Navigating Diversity tradition and shifting the entire focus of the conversation away from the reactionary politics and incendiary news of these extraordinary times, towards trying to answer some of the deeper questions, the big questions, that gives all of this and all our lives meaning. Marianne Williamson says, "Go for the light and the darkness will disappear." We get in life that which we focus on. So that's what we're doing here today, choosing to focus on the light. I am joined by a Navigating Diversity regular and dear friend, Alma Jam. Alma is a doctoral candidate at Idaho State and a local social activist against human trafficking. Hi, Alma.
Hi, Crystal.
How are you doing today?
I am fantastic.
I'm very grateful and blessed to have you here with me today on this interview.
I am honored, as always. I'm really excited for this one.
So, Alma, one of the most important concepts that I've learned in the past few years and begun applying to my life is intention, the power of intention. I believe that every time you try to take something on or you're trying to accomplish something, you can more easily manifest that outcome by clearly articulating your intention behind the action. It's like putting in an order with the universe, making your demand.
Absolutely.
So I think a great place to begin this conversation is stating our intentions for this episode.
The fact that this conversation just has to do with intention is why I want to have this conversation. My intention is to talk about intention. I mean, that's a really heavy concept.
Mm-hmm.
I think we take it for granted. We don't realize how beautiful and powerful intention can really be, because it can take you to the end of the spectrum in whatever direction you're heading. So I am super excited that we're talking about this concept in itself, and that's why I want to be here today.
I love it. My intention for this episode is to give people something to anchor some hope and faith in. I think we are living in very trying times. Mental health is so down. Addiction is up.
Yes.
People feel more disconnected than ever, restless, confused. Mortality salience is high. Everybody is very aware of death, and it's making everybody think a little bit more deeply about what really gives them happiness. Not the cars, not the jewelry, not the house, not even the perfect husband or wife. Like, why are you here? And why are we doing all of this? Why are we fighting all of these protests? Why are we trying to dismantle these systems?
Yeah.
At the same time, we can't just be trying to destroy something evil. We have to be creating something good.
Absolutely.
So let's fill that gap.
I loved everything you just said. That was amazing. I think that is in itself a purpose of why you're existing at this moment. Like, this is the work that we should be doing during the events and social occurrence that are currently happening. I think this is like the hospital. What you're doing is the hospital. We all need this. Like, this work that has intent, this work that has to really ask about why are we here, what's the purpose, and why are we doing this?
Another reason why I wanted to take Navigating Diversity in this direction for a bit is because I've increasingly seen in the past 10 years a lot of people in my generation not really being religious or being what we traditionally define as religious. I think so many of our generation grew up in a time where we were traumatized by a lot of organized religions, and that kind of pushed us in the opposite direction. We kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, nobody wants to hear things like God or the meaning of life, or, and there's this whole perception in the culture that people who talk about that kind of stuff are hippies, or they live in the ether and their ideas can be applied to daily life. I just kind of want to help educate the public on how different what we think of as religion or what we think of as spirituality can be. So how would you distinguish between religion and spirituality?
First of all, I just want to say that I don't blame the majority thinking so bad about religion in itself. The fact that it exists to force people in doing some sort of practice that doesn't make sense most of the time, forcing people to carry on this physical practice of doing something when in actuality what we should be asking is what our hearts or what do we believe aside from everything else. And I think that's important to ask, and I think religion strips that away from a person. It strips away their will to really critically think about things for themselves and arrive at that decision, because that's what their life experiences, their knowledge, their, you know, everything that has made them who they are has dealt them this result of thinking. Religion strips that away. It says, because this is this, you have to do that. But when you talk about spirituality, that's different. It really puts a person in the spot to question why they exist. I think that's what spirituality is really seeking why you exist. And we all have a different way of how we arrive to making that explanation. All of us have a reason as to why we think we exist. There's a diverse way of thinking about religion, and there's also a diverse way of thinking about spirituality. But I think to each his own, however way they make that meaning, that's their free will, and they should be allowed to have that.
I think for me, when I think of distinguishing religion from spirituality, it's almost like if religions are languages and spirituality is life, and you just have different languages to communicate and explore and describe life. I love how you said to each his own, because there really is no right and wrong way to like think about God or create God in your life or try to be a good human being. Everybody's kind of navigating it in their own right, and everybody creates meaning and finds meaning in their own way. And I think the danger of these strict organized religions is almost like if they become political parties, it's just a set of ideas and a set of beliefs, just like everything else. It's just another theory that is here to help you cope with the human condition. That's really all it is. It's not the end all and be all. And each religion, in my opinion, and each spiritual practice and outlook has its own little nugget of truth. And if you can just be open-minded enough and really like come from a place of total understanding and a recognition that all of us are the same, you can see more similarities across religions and differences.
I think no matter what, where you come from or what background, what perspective you have, I think when you honestly arrive to that notion that something exists, something greater than me must exist, and you're honestly and genuinely seeking that, it will find you. I think that's just how life is. What you ask, it will give. So if you're genuinely seeking to understand why you exist and what maybe is that purpose for existence, it will show itself to you. And however way that comes to you, because I think we all hear that voice and we experience that power in a different way, however way that comes to you, that's your own experience, and I can't deny that. I really can't. I have no way of putting myself in your body, in your shoes, and feeling what you felt. And I have no way of doing that. I can only speak to my own experience. And so I think it puts me on a place where I have to be respectful about someone else's perspective when it comes that might differ from how mine is, because I think we all are navigating this differently, and our experiences have each its own unique meaning.
So as I was talking about a little bit earlier, we're living in a time where humanity seems very disconnected. There's so much technology. We're always on our phones. So many of us are so sad. The suicide rate globally is like the highest it's ever been.
I know.
So my question for you is, how do you think humanity has come to this point where so many of us are struggling to cope with just being human?
Man, I think there's a million reasons as to why that's happening. For me personally, I think it's just this ego of thinking I'm the only, like worrying about my own problems only and forgetting to see that everyone is struggling in some way, shape, or form.
So what is ego? Or how would you define ego?
I think ego is me.
Mm.
It's me. It's me, myself, and I. It's me putting myself above everyone else. It's me doing what I do only for my benefit. It's me thinking I'm the only one that exists in this world. I'm the only one that, like, my problems are the only problems. Or my
problems are superior to everyone else's problems.
Yes, my desires are the only desires that matter. Like, I think ego is that overwhelming power or just conscious mind to just only worry about the self.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard to let go of that because that's how we survive. To be honest, 100%. That's really how we survive.
It's a tool.
Yes, it's by protecting our ego, always watching out for ourselves in whatever way that we can, hurting someone else so we can benefit. I think to some point, if ego does not have boundaries,
yes,
or it doesn't have rules to govern, I don't know.
There's nothing to balance it.
Yes, if there's nothing to balance ego or guard it, it can get out of hand and
we live in that current state of the world today.
Yes.
Yeah. Eckhart Tolle, he was the first person to really educate me about ego. First off, in popular culture, in popular psychology, when people hear the word ego, they think of, I'm being arrogant, I'm being selfish, I'm being proud and boastful, and like, I know everything. That's not really what ego is. In Greek psychology, ego was basically what you said, the self. It's the small I, the small me.
Mm-hmm.
It is this tiny little version of myself that I've invented and society has invented that I cling to. It's a story that I keep telling everybody about myself and the world keeps reproducing that story over and over again. So if you think about it, all babies are born naked, right?
Yeah.
There is no ego. Children don't have any ego.
Yeah,
it takes years before they begin to develop a sense of identification with objects and they become identified with names and identified with situations.
Wow.
For the first part of their life, they don't know who they are and they're pretty happy with any and everything that happens. When they're hungry, they cry. When they need to sleep, they sleep. Life is very simple. That is kind of what Eckhart Tolle is saying. We have developed so much ego. We've added so much to that. We let that rule us now.
Wow.
Instead of going back to that original state of innocence when ego didn't exist and we just loved each other unconditionally. Like, wow, I didn't love you because you were Alma Jam. I loved you because you were another thing in the world.
Yeah.
Just like me. And we're the same. Yeah, and ego can be extremely destructive, but as you said, when it's not balanced,
yeah,
we're living in this hyper-capitalistic society. You know, it's every man for himself. If you get a nuke, I'm going to get one too. And it's a race to the bottom because going back to the bigger intention of this conversation, yeah, you can live with ego and you can destroy everything in your path and accomplish everything you wanted to accomplish and have all the resources and power in the world. But then, are you going to enjoy that when it's over? What would have been the purpose then of doing all of that if there's nothing to live for, if there's nobody around you to share it with?
Absolutely. And that's just a question that we don't explore, like the way you said it, what's the purpose of all of this if I get it all and there's no one to share it with? I don't think we ever think that there's ever going to be a world where it's just us because we're always more concerned about the other. And part of that ego is wanting others to worship you because of all the things that you've acquired. And I don't think we ever really consider the fact that there's a world where you can be alone in, and that world is actually very lonely.
Very depressing.
Yes. There's nothing good if you don't have someone to share it with. I don't feel like I can enjoy anything if someone else is suffering around me. Like, what's the point?
It inherently goes against our nature because deep down we know we're all interconnected. Your suffering is my suffering, my joy is your joy. And if you don't understand that yet, what is love? How would you define love?
Love is just forgetting self. It's the opposite of ego. Like, it's just wanting to go beyond yourself and wanting someone to feel happy and satisfied and safe because you understand how pleasurable those feelings are, you know? So you want to give that to someone else. You want someone else to experience that as a gift from you. So love is a gift. Like, it's forgetting yourself, wanting to give that part of the desires that you yourself enjoy to someone else. And again, that can take a very different meanings of what those things are. But I think if you actually just asked yourself those questions before you committed an act, who could this be benefiting or who could this potentially hurt? None of us want to feel unsafe and none of us want to feel invalidated or oppressed. It doesn't feel good.
For me, I would define love as the only thing that's real.
Mm.
So Marianne Williamson, she says everything comes down to two choices. All human beings, every day they wake up, every moment in their life, they get to decide between love or fear. And everything you do is from one of those two houses. You can be afraid of life. You can think in terms of scarcity. You can think in terms of suffering. You can think in terms of survival. That's one mindset. Or you can choose to think in terms of abundance and creativity and goodness and trust in other people.
Wow.
That's a massive shift in perception, as she calls it, from how the world is aligned right now.
Yeah.
And I think we live again in a culture where all we obsess over is romantic love. So many young people are like wasting the entire youth just praying and hoping that they'll find a partner to love them for the rest of their lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I think all love relationships are the same. I think the love between a mother and a son and the love between a child and a teacher and the love between somebody and their dog or between two plants in your garden is the same. Love is the nurturing force that supports everything in creation.
Wow.
And
I like that.
It's unconditional because the universe loves everything the same.
Yeah.
The universe, on average, gives the same amount of love and life support to every living thing.
I love that.
Propping up a ladybug in the same way it's propping my life up.
Yeah.
So how can God not love all of us the same know all of us are the same?
I love that. You see, okay, I just have to say, like, I love how you back up all these questions. I mean, these are really hard questions. I didn't even know
people talked about and thought about.
Yes, exactly. But I love how you back them up with this piece of literature that you read about someone else's perspective on it. Like, I would love to read all those books you keep referencing back to, but I just wanted to make that point. Like, I love the fact that you are exploring other people's thoughts and perspectives about it while at the same time making meaning for your own. Like,
thank you. When I first got to this point in my life where I started to have these conversations with my friends and family, at first you think there's nobody else like me or I'm such a minority of the community that thinks these things. But there is a huge community of people out there who are spiritual and who are conscious and who are alert and they pay attention to their lives. And as my other best friend Des calls it, shadow work.
Yes.
There are people performing shadow work all over and people are listening right now and you've been doing shadow work and you haven't even realized. And this is important stuff. Like, no, you're not alone. And no, it's not crazy to have these kinds of conversations.
Yeah,
I think it's crazy to keep talking about Kim Kardashian and talking about Trump and talking about all of that madness.
Who are those people?
All of that stuff is such an illusion.
Yeah.
Like, this is what's real.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right on that. There's bigger questions and bigger things to talk about in this life. And
we have to step up into the light.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Instead of running from it all the time.
Yes.
So how would you define God?
Oh, man. God is a force. That's the best description I can give that question. God is a force. It just takes over. It's not tangible. It's both, actually. It's tangible and it's not. Because, you know, you have creation. That's, God is in that. And there's things that you can touch, like plants and people and objects. All of those are all surrounded by God. Like, that's the tangible part, is this creation, and even you. But beyond that, it's spiritual.
So my definition of God has become everything and nothing at all.
Mm.
God is the beginning and the end, and everything
absolutely
in the middle.
Absolutely.
God is a God of big things,
yes,
like miracles and countries, yes, and aliens,
yeah,
and as small as DNA, mm, and a neutron and a proton.
Amen.
And human beings, I think, cannot think too big and we cannot think too small.
Mm.
We think in the middle. So that's why we live in a world where we're constantly searching for God.
Mm.
Because he's too big and too small for us to perceive in physical existence.
That is so fascinating. It's everything.
It's a network.
Yeah.
I think organized religion tells us he, especially,
yeah,
the yeah, monotheistic, yeah, tradition, right?
Yeah.
Christianity, Islam, yeah, Judaism, it was very much a human perspective.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways of what God is. We almost treat God like if he's an individual like you.
Yeah.
But God is a network of everybody. Marianne Williamson also used a beautiful analogy in, mm-hmm, her book, A Return to Love. If you think of like a wheel,
mm-hmm,
there's like a center and then there's a bunch of spokes that, mm-hmm, come out of the source of the wheel. You can look at each individual spoke and that's each individual human being.
Yeah.
Or you could look at the entire wheel and at the middle point where all these spokes extend from. The source, the middle, the, yeah, wheel is God. We are the spokes. And, huh, God is us and we are him. And it's all one massive,
wow,
network,
wow,
of life that,
yeah,
just keeps regenerating across time.
That's fascinating. I think you brought up a good point about organized religion wanting to assign this gender. I mean, because we always say he. And I just wanted to like give maybe my background explanation of that is the fact that I'm from a Christian background. So people could say Christianity is a religion, and to some point it is, but the Christianity I connect to is a spiritual experience. But anyways, I come from that background. And I think the reason why, you know, we always allude to God as a he is because in our belief, he came, you know, this force came to earth as a man. And we see all of it, the spirit, the body, and everything, all three persons in one. And so in our human experience, like you said, we make sense, because we're always trying to make sense of everything as humans.
Amen.
We make sense of the God that we think about in he form. But really, it's true. Like, we have to dismiss this idea of gender.
How do you connect with God? Or how do you connect with the force?
How do I connect with the force? Through conversation. Just as I connect with you right now in this podcast, through this conversation that we're having, I connect to God through conversation as well. And we call that prayer. I mean, I'm always praying. I'm always having a conversation with him. We have these conversations. The same way I can talk to you about this, any subject, it's the same way I will have a conversation with God about what I'm feeling or what I'm going through or the things that I desire or the things I understand. So yeah, it's a conversation. That's how I connect with him.
Every conversation is a prayer.
Yes.
Yes. Marianne Williamson also says in A Return to Love that the purpose of human existence is for us to co-create with God. So God created us, and then we co-create with him.
Mm.
So everything we produce on the earth, everything that we make out of the materials, out of the resources, the kind of relationships we form, kind of institutions we build,
mm-hmm,
all of those things are an extension of God too. We are an extension of him or the force, so then everything else is an extension of that through us.
Nice.
So, and I think a lot of people too think God is this external thing.
Yeah,
it is this thing that lives in the clouds that you have to answer to and be accountable to because you're terrified they're going to go to hell or whatever the worst case scenario is in your particular doctrine.
Yeah.
But I know, and I don't believe this, I know this. Those are two very different things.
Yeah.
I know that God is always with us.
Mm.
The force is always with us.
Amen.
Me and God are inseparable.
Amen.
It's the only way it can work, just like everybody else. Even if you pick the most despicable, horrific, ugliest human being on the planet that's committed so much atrocity, God has never left them either.
Yeah.
They've just added so much ego. They can't even see him anymore. But the force is always with you, always.
Wow, I like that. I really like that because I too believe that he's always there. It's just your permission to ask of him to take control of your being. And so I don't think any of us are exempt from that access to this force. He's always there. He's always accessible. It's just your free will to seek him and want him and have him take over who you are as an individual and move in you and everything. So appreciate that perspective of yours. Like, I think it speaks to some of what I believe as well.
100%. I think one of the greatest things I've learned also about having these conversations and connecting with people who also think on these terms, you get so much language to articulate things you've known the whole time, but you didn't know anybody else had termed or created a concept to describe. And it makes you feel less lonely.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm glad there is a language for these things.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and that's why we need to keep having this conversation so we don't think we're crazy.
100%, which is very easy to fall into
today.
Yeah,
it's so easy, but, you know, sometimes the conversations are so powerful, and that's why it sounds crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you're not talking about things that you would normally deem as normal in human explanation and expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be willing to go beyond your imagination in a way. Like, no, you have to use your imagination. And really, you have to define what these things are for you, because it's only through that seeking and curiosity and just asking those questions that we arrive at the meaning that makes sense to us. And then seeking what that meaning is and trying to confirm if it's truth. But there's a different meaning for all of us. And we all have a unique way of experiencing it. So
100%. And when we can work to experience what other people have experienced, we can all come to one understanding of everything. Like, I truly believe that.
Yeah.
Like, I think each and every person on the planet has come here for a purpose.
Yeah.
With a specific lesson to teach everybody.
Absolutely.
We just have to be open enough to see it. My last question for you, Alma, is, what do you know for sure?
What do I know for sure?
What is one thing you know for sure and not believe? Because too many people believe too many things, but what you know.
Okay.
There is no evidence, there is no reason, there is no rationale, there's nothing in logical life that you can articulate it through. This is your deepest well of intuition.
God is real. I don't know what else. Like, that is the realest truth that I know from my own experience. My life is proof that he exists. And I don't know if that's really even answering your question.
It is.
But that's the deepest truth I know, because I've experienced it. And so it's okay if it cannot be proven by, you know, science or even religion or, you know, just human thought. That's okay, because it's beyond that. So it's what I know from my experience.
This is your truth.
This is my truth. He is real.
I love it.
The force, it's real.
It's real.
It's all real.
So let's all maybe find some ways to at least take some time for ourselves, just to kind of step back from everything and ask ourselves some of these questions.
Yeah.
What are your answers?
For real.
Talk about it with your husband tonight and your kids.
Yes.
You know, call up your mom, call up your best friend at work.
Yeah.
And be like, what do you think?
Yeah.
And I think by doing that, we can really begin to do some of the most important work that has been missing for too long from the culture.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Alma, for being here. This was a total pleasure.
Thank you so much. I loved every single one of those questions. Thank you.
This is Christoph Kisun, and you've been listening to Navigating Diversity. Alma Jam and I have been navigating some of the big questions that help give all of our lives meaning. Join us next week at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday as we continue to navigate diversity and explore how human beings differ yet can find ways to relate to one another in an increasingly xenophobic socio-political climate. For more information on all episodes, visit kisu.org/programs/navigatingdiversity.